Hello and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I'm your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Sunday, April 21st, and on today's podcast, we are going to deep dive the NFL draft and how to bet it. It's a very exciting podcast for me because not only is betting the NFL draft kind of a fun betting philosophical topic to discuss, I'm also joined by a great guest who I'm excited to break this down. Growing up, guys, I used to go to summer camp every year, and we used to sing at those. We used to always do these chants, and one of the things that we always said was, "We got the fish, the 5-pound bass." And joining me today is a man named Fish Fisher, who is here to help us catch the 5-pound bass that is NFL draft betting. Fish, you're going to have to get us a long shot. Before I bring him in and officially get us started, let me remind you guys to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. To sign up for the fiddlespicks.substack.com free gambling newsletter. If you like the stuff that we talk about, you might like what I write about. It is completely free to sign up, fiddlespicks.substack.com. And my guest actually has a Substack himself. You could check his out as well. Let's get it popping.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny in 10. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
All right, welcome in. Joining me, like I said, is Fish Fisher. Fish, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. That intro had me grinning ear to ear. That was awesome.
I was very close to singing one of our camp chants or camp songs. Every weird white kid summer camp has these little jingles. I was going to start us off with a little, I'm a Brant Laker. Everybody knows I'm a Brant Laker, from the top of my head to the tips of my toes.
Love it.
Love it. All right. Where I want to start this off, my guy, is I want to review some history of betting the NFL draft, because I know you know this stuff, but I know the audience probably doesn't. So bear with me for 1 second as I go through the history of betting the NFL draft. And over the last 4 or 5 years, betting the NFL draft has really come into prominence with the rise of sports gambling. And we saw these books like FanDuel, DraftKings, these retail shops use the NFL draft as a way to try and bring in new bettors to their platforms. So they offered a plethora of odds. They offered lots of different boosts. There was kind of swinging things based on odds, based on rumors. And it created we're going to invite the public into this market. And of course, the sharps, I guess on this podcast, let's call them the sharks. They were going to eat up the little fish and the minnows. And they absolutely dominated NFL draft betting for the last 3 or 4 years. Sharp bettors have fucking cleaned up on the NFL draft by beating news drops, taking advantage of sportsbooks offerings, playing lines against one another because these rumors happen, these odds move so quick, and you might be able to get Drake May at plus 180 and Jaden Daniels at plus 120. And that's just such an insane arbitrage type ROI to lock yourself into. So what happened over the last few years, Fish, is a reduction of these books wanting to price a ton of NFL draft bets. Less time on the board. It's not being posted a day or two after Super Bowl. We're getting the top 10 odds start to appear just a week before the NFL draft. So it's funny because as they've lessened the amount of bets that they offer us bettors, this started last year where they were like, all right, cut the shit. We're fucking done. It's too much. We're getting wrecked. Not even that many people are signing up for the sports book because they've already been in it for the last few years. So it's not really the best place to try and bring in new customers. That was last year. And what happened last year was a video of Frank Reich enjoying his time in Cabo right now, not coaching any NFL team. Frank Reich goes up to CJ Stroud at his pro day and says, buddy, I'm looking forward to playing basketball against you in Charlotte. Or like they were like joking around, hubby bubby. And it was just so obvious that Frank Reich was clearly signaling to CJ, like actually the head coach saying to the player, we look forward to drafting you and playing basketball against you. If the books had priced the lines earlier, and if the books had left the limits where they used to be last year, the casinos, the sports books would have made up so much of that lost money, and they would have destroyed the sharp bettors. So it's actually kind of funny that for like 3 or 4 years, they got waxed. They decided to change their tune, and it happens in the year where they would have taken all of our money. So that's just a little historical context of draft betting. I think it's very interesting to kind of consider why these books price these certain lines, when they do it, that they're, it's not just gambling. It's like actually a business and a customer acquisition thing. So Fish, any thoughts on just the way odds have changed in betting the NFL draft over the last few years? Have you noticed some of the things that I'm saying?
Yeah. So thankfully I've been able to get money down, which is nice because a lot of people can't, but you know, the lack of odds and the lateness of the odds has definitely really bothered me. You know, even if you're not betting a certain thing, it's nice to know the odds just to kind of get a feel for where things are at. And so books not offering that stuff really affects your ability to then, you know, bet the things they are offering and bet stuff later on. So I definitely share the frustration and the how late they've been on posting these lines.
Yeah. And even within that, Fish, like the few books that are willing to post something early, you can't compare them with another odds book. You can't say, okay, well, let me see how this market in DraftKings compares to FanDuel, because there is no FanDuel market or there is no DraftKings market. So been so tough to bring in some of our handicapping processes to the NFL draft. I know you have been grinding since before the fucking Super Bowl, buddy. I think, when did you release your first mock draft? I was looking it up. February 6th, a week before the Super Bowl. You said, oh, fuck the Pro Bowl. I'm not watching that shit. I don't need to watch these Tua and Tyreek play dodgeball. I like watching them play football. So you said, instead of watching the Pro Bowl shenanigans, I'm actually going to go ahead and start working on a mock draft. What did you learn like so early from your mock draft versus now?
Yeah, I've jumped in very early. I love doing draft stuff. It's been a ton of fun. I've been doing it nonstop. Yeah. And it's nice to look back and see how things have changed. So, you know, if I, not that my mock is necessarily the sharpest out there, but if someone's jumped up,
top three.
Thank you. If someone's jumped up in one of my mocks and that jump hasn't been reflected in the odds, then, you know, over the course of a month, then there might be some value there in those bets.
Yeah. So let's go straight into those bets. What is your favorite NFL draft bet that is still currently available? Because I know you've gotten some great odds and you're ahead of a lot of things, but for the listeners who are tuning in now, what would you recommend they go bet today?
Yeah, so my favorite bet on there, so right now JJ McCarthy on DraftKings, his under 5.5 is -160, right? So that means sports books are saying they think he's going to go in the top five, and yet his odds to be the number five pick on that same sports book are +250. So to me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? If the sports books think he's going to go top five, it's probably going to be at pick number five because they're confident the top four are locked in. So that +250, I see a ton of value on that bet. And, you know, obviously with such good odds, it doesn't have to be a huge amount of exposure and you can have a nice little payout there.
So the fourth pick this year is the Arizona Cardinals. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they have seemingly for the last 2 years, since Kyler signed that contract that said, play a little bit less Call of Duty, please, K1, right? They've said he's our franchise quarterback. They brought him back late in the last season, despite him having an injury guarantee. A lot of people thought Cardinals just won't play Kyler late in the season so that they can get off him without an injury. They played him. He looked good again. And they're like, nah, he's our guy. So are you just thinking that they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. and that they're not going to trade? Because they've been rumored in some trades, right? We've seen, are the Giants going to come up and take number four? Are the Vikings going to come up and take number four? I like what you're saying, because if McCarthy is a, what's a minus 160? Let me quickly calculate the implied probability on that. If he is a 62% implied JJ McCarthy to be a top five pick, we kind of know the top three, the top four now. And even it needs a trade to make it happen. I kind of agree, Fish. JJ McCarthy, number five, might be the spot. Who's the team that picks him up?
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., to answer your question, is minus 225 to go pick number four. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense there. I don't see that top four changing, really, from where it is. So I do think the Vikings are a very logical choice there to move in. They made that trade with Houston to get an extra first-round pick. They've been very outspoken about liking J.J. McCarthy. He kind of fits their mold there. So I think that's what's going to end up happening with J.J.
Yeah, who has the fifth pick, Fish?
That's the Los Angeles Chargers, who do not obviously need a quarterback because they have Herbert. So
do you think they're going to be the one that trades?
I do. I think they're going to move down. That's a very kind of hardball new regime thing to do, is to move down, build some capital, and kind of fill in some spots that you need, a skill position, offensive line, corner, because they're in the very nice position of having a young quarterback who's very good. And like I said, with the new regime coming in, that's the perfect time to trade down and build capital.
Who would be the fifth pick if the Chargers do not trade out?
They have to go wide receiver.
Right.
Everyone's been sharing that clip of Jim Harbaugh being like, oh, man, I love the offensive line. It's so important. But their wide receiver room is a joke right now. And it's such a good class. They have to take one. So if the Chargers stay put, I think it's Malik Nabers, who is actually currently the favorite to go there, a slight favorite over McCarthy. That's the only pick that makes sense to me.
What's the best number on the board for Nabers at five?
He's plus 230 on DraftKings right now.
Would you feel more comfortable? Are you going, give me just McCarthy to be the fifth pick and I'm banking on this being a trade? Or would you rather say, I'll play both of them? I'll play plus 230 and plus 250, and I'll create a portfolio approach of one of these two top guys.
Yeah, that's a great move. If you're confident, you know, double your chances there almost. But this is kind of a question we're going to get to later, but I'm not big on the arbitrage thing. I did have one last year with the tight ends, actually, believe it or not. But a friend of mine once described arbitrage as you're hedging a great bet with a terrible bet. You know, that. So that's kind of the way I've always thought about it. J.J. McCarthy is a great bet right there, I think, at number five.
Is that specific to draft betting, or is that specific to arbitraging in general?
That's in general.
I hate that guy.
So I think McCarthy's a great bet there. Now, Nabers is not a terrible bet, certainly. So my dramatic statement's not necessarily true in this sense, but I think it's a slightly worse bet. So I would personally just rather stick with the plus 250.
Okay, I want to quickly speak on arbitraging. I think arbitraging is the single best thing you can do in sports betting.
I'm surprised to hear that take coming from the king of CLV over here.
Okay, let's dive in a little bit deeper. When you can arbitrage a position in real time without needing a CLV swing. So now we're in two different situations. One, we're line shopping and we're realizing odds are skewed at two different books and we could pin them against each other, right?
Right.
In that situation, arbitraging is the single best thing you could do, because you are no longer sports betting. You are creating a time to ROI ratio. Hey, does this bet pay out in 2 days? Am I going to get a 6% return by grabbing these two lines? Okay, let me do it. I would sign up for that in a stock market, in an investment, in a real estate portfolio, whatever. It's not really sports gambling anymore when you're able to arbitrage. When you have a situation where you can, where you've gained CLV and closing line value, and the ability to arbitrage is only present because you've beat the line, then yes, there is some sentiment that, okay, maybe you don't want to just, you know, reduce all of your potential winnings because you have a strong positive EV on that. The question becomes, is your EV more, less, equal to the arbitrage ROI that you're going to pay out. So while I might win a bet straight up, right? Like if I bet a minus 110, I'm going to return 91% of my money if I hit it. It's going to be ROI of 91%. But you could calculate the EV that's in there, right? So if I know the difference between my expected hit rate and my implied probability, and I say, okay, that's a 2.7% EV. And then if I go calculate the arbitrage and it's 3.8, that one's better. If the CLV EV is higher, you would forego the arbitrage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. The second scenario that you're describing right there is where I, what I'm specifically referring to is foregoing that arbitrage in that particular setting. Yeah, and like you said, in the other scenarios, of course, it becomes smarter.
Yeah, I mean, like if we could, I did it with LeBron's 40K benchmark where I, at the same time, just all at once, I bet LeBron to DraftKings was offering a before or after date while FanDuel was offering the individual games. So similar to what you're doing with, oh, McCarthy is top five at this number, but exactly five here, right? You're getting over under of a range and then exactas. So I had over under of LeBron's date range of when he was going to cross it. And then I realized with exactas, I could pick off the individual games before the after date. So I played after on the date and then played the exactas on the games before. And I locked myself into a 15% ROI and I put thousands of dollars on it.
You could see that. I remember seeing your bet slips there. That was awesome for sure. Yeah. That was one of the coolest things ever. So you're great at that stuff.
All right. Well, let me tell you what I've not been great at. Perfect segue for me, Fish. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
My Jaden Daniels versus Drake May to go number two. Absolute disaster so far. Let me explain the story. So I even texted you on, I reached out to you on the other night before I submitted this bet. We've seen the Jaden Daniels versus Drake May kind of be the consensus first possible variable in the 2024 NFL draft. We know Caleb Williams is going to go number one. And the question becomes, who goes to the Washington Commanders? Is it Jaden McDaniels or is it Drake May? So let's talk about sourcing information, Fish. I decided to go to my sources. When I view sources for the NFL draft, I separate them into two branches. One is NFL insiders, and two is NFL talent evaluators. You are going to get the Dan Orlovskys or the, what's that guy's name? Lewis Riddick's, who are talent evaluators who will watch film and grind tape and then come to an evaluation of the player's skill relative to the other players. Whereas on the other side of the table, you have NFL insiders who are actually not watching any tape, not giving any football opinion, but rather speaking to their sources that they know and reporting on the information that they've been told. So of those two, I prioritize the latter. Give me the insiders. I want to know what the people in the building are telling the people outside of the building who I trust. You ever heard of Adam Schefter? Well, Adam Schefter went on a Commanders podcast, and now he's been fucking backtracking it, but I listened to the fucking podcast, and he says, you could go buy your Jaden Daniels jerseys to the Commanders fans. Okay, great. Then that was number one. First off, Schefter telling a Commanders podcast, you can go already buy your Jaden Daniels jerseys. Whoa, that is a big statement. Caveat two to that big statement. I know that Adam Schefter has reported a lot of these Commander stories under their new ownership before anyone else. So who's got the plug for the Commanders? It's Schefty. Then number two, Fish. Peter Schrager. You got he's on Good Morning Football. He's on some of the Sunday Countdown shows. He joins Bill Simmons often to break down things. He's on McAfee very frequently. Very famous NFL insider. He, over the last 5 years, has the most accurate mock drafts. Last year, he had a perfect first round besides missing one trade that he's like, he still got the player and the position right, but he didn't get the team because someone traded in and took the same player at the spot. So Schrager's got the best track record. Shefty's the highest rated insider, and Shefty's on the ins with these people. And Schrager is also good friends with Cliff Kingsbury, who's the Washington Commanders offensive coordinator. And Schrager has Jaden Daniels too on his mock. And Schefter says, go buy your Jaden Daniels jerseys. Fish, what do you think I did when I heard all that information?
I'm going to go on a limb and say you bet Jaden Daniels to be the number two pick to the Washington Commanders.
I texted you first and I was like, how fucking much are we betting this? And you gave me a very like respectable, correct answer. I said, brother, give me a percentage chance that you think Jaden Daniels is going to. I didn't even tell you anything else. I just texted you because I know you're my draft expert. And I said, Fish, give me a percentage on JD number two. You hit me back 70%, to which I said, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear 90%. And then I explained to you the sources of the information. And you said, yeah, okay, that's starting to make sense. You could send it in. That's probably worth a play. And then the very next day, literally, it's unbelievable how bad the timing of this happened. The very next day, I also wrote an article for Action telling people to go take Jaden Daniels. I also gave it out in the Substack. I was very in on the Jaden Daniels number two. I kind of still am. We'll get there in a second. The very next day, Jaden Daniels' agent tweets a weird emoji. The Commanders apparently took 20 different prospects to fucking Topgolf. And all of a sudden, the odds have changed so much to where it became where they were both minus 115s. So I was like, holy shit, Drake May is now an equal favorite with Jaden Daniels. It's now at the point where Drake May is plus 120. And I'm going to pull up Jaden Daniels' odds right now. Jaden Daniels is minus 145. So I'm holding a pretty overexposed full three-unit max bet on a Jaden Daniels minus 300 to win one unit when it is now where I could bet half of that to make the same return. So did I fuck up? Yeah, I fucked up. Is it still going to win? That's where I'm bringing you back in, Fish. What are your thoughts on Jaden Daniels versus Drake May for number two as it stands now?
Yeah, I do still think your bet's going to win. I know it sucks to overexpose like that when you could have such better odds, but I do think Jaden Daniels is still going to go number two to the Commanders. I would not overreact too much to the rumors like the sports books have. It's still the best fit, the fit that makes the most sense. His play style fits with what Cliff Kingsbury has liked throughout his entire career at every level. And there's a lot of scouts that have him over Drake May on a talent level. I'm not one of them, but I would not worry too much. I think the bet is still safe there that Jaden Daniels goes number two. You got to be careful. I mean, that goes to show you, no matter how well-sourced you are, no matter how clear things seem, the slightest little tweet can suddenly send your portfolio plummeting. So
do you remember what happened with the Mac Jones situation?
Yeah, the Mac Jones and the Trey Lance that whole,
and Pat McAfee is on live air, like on doing his, what does he call it, a draft spectacular or whatever, and he's like reading a text message and he's like, this source would know. I'm not going to say who it is, but this source is the source. And Mac Jones is not going number three. And Mac Jones went from a minus 2,500 to a plus 1,500 in a matter of minutes. It went from above a 95% implied probability to below a 7% implied probability. That's how much these fucking draft numbers can move. Clearly, we have yesterday's example of me kind of getting caught in the wind. So, Fish, you called me the CLV king before. How much can we really weight CLV in these draft markets?
Yeah, so CLV still matters. Don't let anyone convince you it's irrelevant.
Relevant. Yeah, let me double down on that. I agree. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so to me, it's not almost how much CLV, it's like what type. I would almost rather have 20 cents of CLV over the course of a month than 30 cents in the course of an hour. because that to me tells me, right, that's just a rumor, right? That's overreaction. That's craziness. That's, I'm not really too concerned about that one way or the other. But if it's slowly a bet starts improving and improving and improving, that's when I can start to think, okay, this is building steam. So not to rub it in, but I bet Drake May to be the number three pick at plus 110. He's now down to like minus 140-ish, right? Yep. So that's great amount of CLV. But more importantly, is it's happened over the course of a month. That gives me a lot more confidence in my play than if, you know, like you're minus 300 to minus 155, boom, the blink of an eye. That kind of feels like smoke to me. So the way I value CLV is, yes, it still matters, but look at kind of the way it came about and more focus on that than just the actual number itself.
Okay. And now when we start to bring in these conversations and all these points, your choice right now is to forego the ability to arbitrage on Drake May's three, because you could play a plus 175 on Jaden Daniels, have a plus 110 the other direction. There's clearly been some smoke and some mixed signals here. Do you think I'm going to stay with my CLV or I'm going to open up a guaranteed profit?
Yeah, maybe this makes me an idiot. I'm looking, I have a plus 110 bet that's now at minus 140, minus 145. I mean, you'd have to kill me to take that bet slip away from me, right? I mean, I'm not giving that up for anything. I'm not going to arbitrage it. I want to hedge out of it. Like, that's so much value. I'm just going to sit on it and I'm going to take my plus 110 winner because, again, I have to take all that value. And that's the way I look at it.
Okay, I want to build on that. I don't think that's the wrong answer. I don't think that makes you an idiot at all. It's a choice. We talked about it before. You'd have to compare EV to ROI and you can make an informed choice. The reason why I actually think that might be the right idea in this situation is what we talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, where you can't really get a lot of money down on draft betting. So there are certain situations where you feel like you know you're going to beat the line. So you 10x, 12x, 15x your bet size, because part of baked into your cap is letting 5 units of it ride and then playing back the other 10 units. So you're doing a little bit of both, right? Where you say, okay, I'm going to arbitrage 10 units of this and take a 1.5 unit win on a 15% return on a 10 unit position. And then flip side, I'm going to let 5 units of them still ride on a ticket with good CLV. You guys see me do that all the time in the NBA. When I beat a line, I play half of it back or whatever. So you just can't really do it in the NFL draft because you can't get, you know, good 4 figures down on a lot of these odds. You could do it at multiple books, but then you're not using the ability to line shop and all those other things. So I actually think that's a totally fine fit. Fish, as we start to get in the last few days, and the reason why we scheduled it for this week to have our podcast, we knew we were going to do this for 2 months. We'll do it. We actually now know that we're going to do it for 12 months before next year. You get these odds that show up like the week before the draft, where it's not just first pick, second pick. You start getting third, fourth, fifth, 3 through 10 exactas are out there. You start getting team plus position. You start getting certain individual player over unders. Is Brock Bowers going to go over under 10 and a half or whatever? Is Joe Alt going to go over under 6.5 or 7.5? You start getting matchups of different players. So Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. are the first two wide receivers expected off the board. You can bet Marvin Harrison Jr. to go before Malik Nabers. We get a lot of these different markets starting to appear now. My question to you is, what is your favorite of those markets to attack? What do you and why do you make that choice?
Yeah, so I like to focus on players. So the over under, you know, X number of QBs, the position type bets like that, I tend to stay away from. And also a certain team to draft a certain position, I tend to stay away from as well. In my experience, those markets can just, the books are kind of pretty sharp on them. I prefer to focus on players because, you know, you don't know what teams are going to do, but I trust my evaluation of players. So almost all of my bets are player focused, whether they be, Rome Odunze. I got his over eight and a half draft position. I have Blake Corum to go to the Chargers, crush CLV on that. You can still get that at plus money. I like to focus on specific players, where they're going to go, whether that be to a team or their draft position. All of my bets start with, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. to do this, Michael Penix to do this, rather than, you know, Giants to do this or over 8.5 wide receivers, whatever. Try to focus on the player themselves. There's a lot less volatility I found in that market and a lot more value than in those others.
Yeah, I love that. Repeat what you said. I'll repeat it. The bet slip says Joe Alt to do X, not Chargers to do Y. So that's how you bet on player outcomes specifically, because you're the one studying the players more than teams and fit. So now I'm going to ask you, I think it's pretty clear that you don't overly care about team fit on draft night. You're willing to go with a McCarthy bet at 5 without the trade already happening and not concerned about the fit. You seem to be more, I don't care about team is going to draft a wide receiver. So fit for player plus team, low importance versus the public consensus and what people talk about.
Yeah, I definitely do. A team, especially in football, more than, a team will take a good player. Last year, we saw the Lions draft in the first round the two least valuable positions in the entirety of football.
They both played great, too.
You're right. They took a running back and a linebacker because it's all about the player. It's about the value that they see, the talent that they see in that the position. Last year, the Chiefs needed a wide receiver so bad, and they didn't take one because there was no value there. They didn't like any of the guys in that position. The fit, people try to force fits in where they don't fit. It's about the players, the team, where they go in the draft. No matter what team it is, someone will take those players if you find value in their talent and their draft position.
Yeah, I think that the team plus fit that everyone's talking about is Bills have to take a wide receiver. I don't think the Bills have to take a wide receiver.
Yeah, again, it depends who's there, right? If there's a really good wide receiver there, they'll take him. If not, don't be surprised. They might draft Cooper DeJean, right? It's all about the value there, and don't try to force the fit.
Okay. Something I love to do in betting, people get scared off of it. I scream and ask them, why does this matter so much? I like to make my putts. I like to make my layups. I like to play some seemingly really safe bets that have really long odds, like really short odds or long
short odds. Yeah, you mentioned
really juiced odds. Short odds would be the correct terminology. I'm getting not much payback for my exposure. Something that's like -2,000. The best example of this for me, Fish, is with the NBA draft, where I played Victor Wembanyama to be the first pick in the NBA draft. What a fucking surprise that was. It was on draft night. It was -6,000 at one book and -20,000 at another book. You know what I did? I absolutely maxed out the limits because I was watching the TV. I saw Marty Smith, the ESPN reporter, had Victor Wembanyama shaved into his head like a portrait. There was a live watch party happening from San Antonio where they were filling the arena. Even though the draft was like in Brooklyn or whatever, they're filling the arena with Spurs fans and selling Spurs Wembanyama jerseys before he was even drafted. So I said, okay, just sign me up. I don't care if I'm putting $1,000 on this to win $5 or whatever the fuck it was. I was still willing to bet. It was $1,000 to win $20. I was still willing to do it, and I did it. And I took my $20 and bought myself lunch the next day. Do you like safe bets and things that are incredibly juiced? Like, what's your approach? Are you saying I'm not touching a -2,000 or -5,000, or I'm totally willing to bet them?
Yeah, I'm totally willing to bet them. So I bet, this is probably the greatest bet of my life, but like way back in January, I bet Caleb Williams to go first overall at -300, which as you
I have it -500 too.
Attaboy. I love that. Yeah. So, like, again, you think, you know, a casual bettor might see -500 and think, oh, that's terrible odds. But in reality, they were fantastic odds. So, I'm happy to do that. However, I would not recommend betting Caleb Williams right now.
No.
Even though, as confident as I am, he's still a little more shaky. The NFL is a little more shaky than the NBA. I don't think he's quite at Wembanyama level. At this point, I would not bet him. But in general, I'm happy to take a safe bet no matter the odds.
Can I tell you let me give you a little trivia, Fish? Do you remember the biggest holy fuck, we didn't see that coming in a NFL draft bet in the last you know, maybe 5 or 10 years where it was so sure of it. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh.
No, remind me.
Laramie Tunsil's gas mask video emerges the day of the draft. He was like a consensus top 10 pick. And then a video of him smoking weed through a gas mask emerges on the day of the draft. Someone leaked it. Everyone got scared that he was like into drugs and he plummeted on the draft board. So if you had put my thinking is if you're going to play these minus 2000s, minus 5000s, just wait for the draft to start. Right. Like I did this with Dyson Daniels in the NBA. I think it was last year, two years ago, minus 3000 to be a top 10 pick. I just waited for the draft to start because I knew that odds wasn't going to change. I said, I don't want no Dyson Daniels sexual assault allegations to come out on the day of the draft and someone try and sabotage him. So I'm very pro make your putts, make your layups, play a safe bet right when the draft is starting. I like that we're in agreement. Yeah. On the flip side of that, are there any long shots you like? Before we get out of here, we said, Fish, catch us the 5-pound bass. Who's got the fish? To explain that in context, we used to have like color war and whoever caught the biggest fish won the points for their color war. And so we always used to scream, someone go catch the 5-pound bass. What is the long shot that you like? It could be nothing because we want good advice, not just content advice. Are there any long shots that you like for the NFL draft?
Yeah, so not really long shots in the traditional definition. But at the same time, if you're used to being a spread bettor, you know, on the NFL, like Fiddle and I are, plus 270, the bet I gave out earlier, that's pretty long, right? Yeah,
you already gave out a plus 2. It was 270 for McCarthy at 5?
Yeah, right. Like these bets are already kind of long shots based on those odds. So, you know, I don't know that I have any crazy, you know, 15-1 type bets that I would recommend you take right now, but there's still a ton of plus money value out there that you can absolutely participate in. So that's my advice to you is go find some of these, you know, plus 200 type bets. And there's a ton of value on there. I'll give out another one that I like kind of the same logic is with Dallas Turner to go number 8. He's minus 125 right now to be the first defender drafted. He's plus 220 to go number 8, which is the Falcons, which everyone seems to agree is going to be the first defender off the board, whoever it might be. So you're essentially there getting plus 220 odds on a guy who's minus 125 to go first overall defense. So that's the same kind of logic there. Another plus 200 greater bet that I think there's a ton of value on.
Yeah, plus 250 at FanDuel right now. I like that.
There you go.
Dallas Turner to be the 8th overall pick. It's another situation where, like, do you feel really confident that he's going to be the first defensive player selected?
I do, yes, absolutely.
What would be your degree of confidence on that in a percentage?
Well, so it's, of course, you have to pick on the one bet where I've lost a little CLV. I bet Dallas Turner at minus 140 to be the first defender taken. He's now down to, like, minus 120-ish, depending on your book. So,
Who would be the other potential guy?
Yeah, so Quinion Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo, is in the running. And then I have a great Latu from UCLA.
Can I let me tell you a Quinion Mitchell story?
Yeah.
That's his name, right? Quinion Mitchell?
Yep.
So I was at a wedding the beginning of February, actually right as you were releasing your mock. I was flying home from Florida. Thought I met a girl at the wedding. She ghosted me. That's not the story. However, there were some NFLers at the wedding, and specifically a former player that I was talking to who currently is working Quinion Mitchell out for the combine and for the draft, and he's been like helping him the whole time. So I said to him, I was like, who do you think is going to go in the first round? He's like, Mitchell. And I was like, who is he? He's like, cornerback from Toledo. And I was like, all right. Sweet. So I was really hoping. I was like, is he definitely going first round to the guy? He's like, 100%. Like, this is the dude. I said, is he a man corner or is he a zone corner? He looks back at me, he goes, both. He's like, looks like Surtain. And I said, okay. And by the way, said person that I was talking to was a 9-year defensive back in the NFL. So he knows what he's talking about, and he's working out with the dude, and he's with them, and he knew. So I was waiting. I messaged other people. I said, we got to keep eyes on draft odds. We want Quinnen Mitchell to be the guy that we play a minus 1,000 to be a first-round pick right when the odds come out. They haven't even offered that because it seems like he's so sure of a thing to be a first-round pick that they're not even pricing that kind of layup and putt. But I didn't get the sense from dude that he was potentially the best defensive player in the draft and he was going to go number one overall. Like, that's like the one player that I have like a direct source to. Yeah. And it wasn't like, dude, this is the best defensive player in the draft.
Yeah, so I do think he's the best cornerback in this draft, for sure. But it's just – it's not a great corner draft in general to me. Right. I don't think he's on the same level as Dallas Turner. I'm not really buying some of the steam against Turner here. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to go first round up there. But I still think that at the end of the day, teams would rather have a pass rusher, especially a versatile one like Turner. So Mitchell, I think he's definitely going to go first round, first corner. But, you know, I think he's like minus 300 to be a first corner or something like that.
Oh, so, wow. Listen, good for him and good for the person I was talking to. Yeah. The said person, as we get out of here, goes, dude, take my number. Like, hit me up. You ever spend time in Miami? I'm like, I guess. Like,
I can't.
We're going out in South Beach? Like, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, that's an invitation.
Yeah, I was actually supposed to be in Florida this weekend, but late canceled of the trip. All right, that, I think, wraps us up today, Fish. Is there anything else that you want to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, just make sure to follow me on Twitter. It's at @fish_fisher4. I have my Substack link there on my bio. That's where I post them all, any of my plays, all that stuff. So the best place to find me is just on Twitter.
Sweet. I will make sure that Fish is tagged in the episode description. I will make sure he's tagged in my Substack as well. He runs a Substack, so if you find mine, it'd be very easy to click follow on his. My man, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. I'm going to ask you one more favor. If anything pops up between now and the draft that you feel really confident in, that is relative to the things that we've discussed, let me know and I will let the audience know. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. We will talk to you later. Peace out.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.